Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm your host, Shad Markowitz, and I'm speaking today with Dave Erfley, publisher of The Junior Minor Junkie. And we'll put a link to the JuniorMinorJunkie.com site down below this editorial. Dave, it's always great getting you on the show to get your take on the markets, on the precious metal sector, some of the price levels you're watching in the metals and the mining stocks. And I guess just in a general sense, we were talking before we started recording about how this process feels coming out of the end of last year where we saw the bottoming process, as you've noted a number of times, the seven-year cycle, the 2001, the 2008, the 2015, and now the 2022 bottom in the precious metals. If that is, in fact, what it is and holds, it does kind of feel like the period coming out of 2018, where at the end of the year there was that bounce coming out of 2018 and then the excitement in Q1 in 2019, only for it to have a corrective period. And then we saw that bigger move in 2019. I'd love you to unpack that a little bit and just how you're looking at how the precious metals have behaved over the last few months and then coming into the beginning of this year.
Yeah, sure, Shad. It's really interesting. We had that really awful bear market from 2013 to the end of 2015, where it got everybody out of the sector. All the generalists just said, I'm out of this sector for a while here. This is really bad. I mean, the GDX went down 85%. So we had a six-month bottoming in the end of 2015, and then we had that huge move up from the first quarter of 2016 into the middle of 2016, and very similar to the move that we had off the COVID panic low. It was about the same percentage gain. And then also another exact similarity was the amount of time it took to consolidate those huge gains. It took exactly 26 months from the peak in the middle of 2016 until the bottom in September of 2018. And from the peak of the middle of 2020 until the bottom of that consolidation was 26 months later, also into September of 2022. Well, after that bottom took place in September 2018, we had the GDXJ go from about 25 to about 34. And that was into right around the middle of the first quarter of 2019. And then we had another, you know, big move down, but it didn't test those lows. So this could be setting up similar here. But the move from September 2022 was over 50% off the bottom. So that's a significantly larger move. And so I don't expect the consolidation pattern of that move to take place so quickly. You know, it could take into June until we consolidate those gains. Because it took about 4 months to go up 50%. And, you know, we didn't see the volume accompany that. And, you know, we didn't see generalist participation in that move. So, you know, this process could take a little while longer.
Well, Dave, I can already imagine now some people listening to this interview and getting bummed out when they hear that. They're like, oh, great. Just what I need, more consolidation. But we should also point out this gives people plenty of time to position in some of the mining stocks that maybe you missed, even on the recent move higher. There's still plenty of time for people to get in position. But as far as how you see the corrective move playing out, what kind of price levels are you looking at for support in, let's say, gold or the mining stocks?
Well, if I'm wrong, and this is a quick move down, then in the GDXJ, there is support here at 37. It's trying to hold support here at 37. I see that as an outside chance of happening. So there's more support at 35 in the GDXJ and stronger support down at about around the 30, 31 area. So those are the levels I'd be looking at. But, you know, take a look at the silver action and the miner action in relation to the gold price. Okay. This correction that's taking place right now was basically telegraphed by the silver price and the miners showing relative weakness to gold ever since about the first week of the year. You know, so they were basically saying, hey, danger, Will Robinson, you know, we're about to have a correction. And we've certainly started to have one. You know, we saw $100 reversal. So I think you're going to see relative strength in silver and the miners first before you see the gold price turn around. That could take place. I mean, that's, you know, we have these hints in the sector. You know, the miners in silver generally give you a hint of what's about to happen with the gold price. You know, they start to show relative weakness before the gold price goes down after major moves up, and vice versa after major moves lower.
That's a great point, Dave, because silver did lead the way down starting last April and May of last year. And then it led the way up starting in September. Right. Yeah. And then the mining stocks shortly thereafter in late September. So I guess let's look at silver then. Silver, you know, was up hovering around that $24 level. And then it recently broke down into the low 22s. Where do you see support coming in?
Yeah, well, there's key support at the 22 level. You know, that was key support during that whole entire consolidation process. And then when the capitulation phase came in, when the 22 level was broken through on a weekly basis, then that's when the move, you know, sharply down towards 17, 18 took place. So 22, there is some support at 22. It's trying to hold that right now. But I think there's more support around 21.75, 21.50, which is where the 200-week and the 50-week moving averages are, right around the same area. But I wouldn't be surprised to see silver come all the way back down to test 20. That wouldn't shock me. So those are the areas I'd be looking for on silver.
Okay. And then again, I can imagine people hearing that and going, oh, brother, $21 or $20 silver, I thought we were past this. Put it in context of where we're at and why that wouldn't bother you, because it's just a normal corrective move.
Well, it's a healthy consolidation process. You know, I mean, look at how quickly silver ran from 1750 up to 25. And look at how quickly gold price ran from 1620 to 1975. You know, the gold price went basically from 1700 to 1900 without much of a correction at all. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the gold price come down to there's some support around 1840, 1850. I figured today maybe if Powell, you know, got really hawkish, that may have been tested today, but that hasn't taken place. But those are the next support levels. But there's a lot stronger support at 1780 to 1800 in the gold price. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that level come down and tested.
Well, Dave, you're also the junior miner junkie, and you do cover investing in the junior stocks, but you look at the whole sector. If you were a precious metals investor, because I don't really think we have a ton of generalists in the space yet, and people listening to this interview are probably interested in the space, but let's say you've built up a cash position, or let's say you exited some positions at the end of last year during tax loss selling, and you've been waiting to get in, but you missed the other move. Is this an area where you would advise people to watch closely the stocks and kind of pick their spots, or do you think there'll be a better opportunity if we see some of these corrections play out in a couple months?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, this is a great time to be taking a look at this sector if you haven't. If you're new to the sector, or if you've been following it for a while and you've got cash on the sidelines and you've been waiting for a correction to take place, this is a great time to start averaging in. You know, don't go whole hog on any of these stocks right now. You got to average in on them. And that's basically what I was doing, myself and my subscribers were doing, into the end of last year. So fortunately for, you know, the subscribers that did this along with me, you know, we haven't really been hurt very much by this correction, because we finished our positions in late last year. So if I was wanting to come in now, you have to take each stock on a separate basis, you know, in the junior space, because, you know, a lot of these companies, you know, they've already had 2 to 3 times moves off their lows made late last year, and those moves need to consolidate. So you take a look at past support levels and past peaks. You take a look at 50-week moving average, 18-week moving average, and, you know, you just start scaling in on weakness. You know, you never want to chase these stocks, especially while the process of bottoming is taking place. I mean, look what happened to anybody that chased anything over the past several weeks. You know, they're hurting right now if they took full positions when they're chasing. So you want to do this on weakness. The time to chase gold stocks is when there's a breakout. The time to chase gold stocks is, you know, hopefully you don't want to be in that position. You know, you want to have full positions so you're not put in the position to have to chase them. But if you're more conservative and you say to yourself, well, you know, I'd like to kind of have a half position in the stocks that I want to be in, and then once the breakout takes place, then I'll buy the rest of the position. That's obviously a good strategy too. It's less risky, but you're going to make less money when there's less risk. So obviously you definitely want to do this on weakness, because there's less risk as you're buying these things on the way down than when you're buying them on the way up.
Okay, Dave, thanks for sharing that. Some good strategies for people if they want to be a little bit more aggressive buying on the way down, or take the more conservative path and scale into positions and then add to them as they see the breakout on the charts. One other thing I think we should discuss, though, Dave, is mergers and acquisitions in the gold space. It's been kind of quiet for a while, but we have seen a couple of large deals in the recent past. This week, we were stunned with the news that Newmont, the world's largest gold miner, is going to be taking over one of the other major gold miners. Newcrest Mining put a bid in for a 26% premium. That's a big deal, but it's also on the back of both Agnico Eagle and Pan American Silver scooping up Yamana after outbidding Goldfield. So we've seen some of these big majors become even larger, what some are calling super majors. Do you think that's going to get any excitement from generalists, because maybe news of that size makes the rounds even amongst other people outside the sector?
I do, because the last time we started a trend of mega mergers was a few years ago when Barrick took over Randgold, and then right on the heels of that, Newmont took over Goldcorp. So, you know, these companies need to get bigger. You know, these cries for consolidations from the high profile CEOs, from analysts, you know, they've been taking place for quite a while now. And, you know, as far as the mega mergers are concerned, you know, then this puts more heat on Mark Bristow. He's already come out and said that he's not going to place a bid after the Newmont's placed a bid. But also there was a story that came out today that said that Newmont is open to sweetening the offer because it sounds like they're maybe concerned of a higher bid coming in. So if they're already talking about sweetening the offer, then it looks like there's a pretty good chance that there might be a bidding war for Newcrest as well. I mean, if you're Mark Bristow, you know, and you know he's got a pretty large ego, you know, they were knocked off the pedestal of being the number one gold miner when Newmont took over Goldcorp. And if this deal goes through, Newmont will be twice the size of Barrick. Newmont will be in their own league. So, you know, Bristow's probably going to have to consider that, hey, that I'm going to have to basically start to think about, you know, what I'm going to do to counter this move. And I wouldn't be surprised if Barrick would go after something like Kinross. I know they were in the hunt for the Great Bear asset. And now that Kinross has shed themselves of their very risky Russian assets, you know, that company is very undervalued here. So I wouldn't be surprised to see something like that take place. You know, I think this is going to kick off another wave, absolutely.
Well, Dave, just some other reflections on this is a couple things. One is we continue to see large companies go after large companies, but there's been very few of the majors, or people fixate on the majors, but there's been very few of the mid-tiers that have actually been going after development stage companies with ounces in the ground. Everybody cites the Great Bear success story, which it absolutely was, but that was kind of a lone ranger there. Most of the development projects are still sitting on the fence. So when will some of these producers, not just the majors, but the mid-tier producers that are big enough on their own to grab some of these development projects, when are they going to start taking advantage of the valuations we see right now in these development stage companies?
Yeah, I mean, it might not take place until the gold price, you know, has that $2,000 floor and they see that take place. And hey, we should probably start scooping up some of these things because they're not going to be this cheap very much longer. Because as you're well aware, you know, the price of capital has been out of control. You know, the inflation has been out of control to build these things. So a lot of these companies, you know, they miscalculated inflation numbers and it's really hurt their bottom line. So I think, you know, the majors are waiting to see how this shakes out now that inflation is starting to come down. And, you know, they're getting more realization of what these things will cost. I think this wave, you know, this mega merger wave will start filtering down into the juniors that are de-risking, you know, these projects and that are at the finance stage or already at the feasibility stage and close to the finance stage.
Okay, and just one last question on this merger is a buddy of ours, Robert Sen Goldfinger, mentioned he thinks that one of the reasons Newmont took out Newcrest was to get more exposure to the Golden Triangle, where Newcrest is very heavy, and also Australia. So do you think jurisdiction mm-hmm. plays into this?
Yeah, and copper. Yeah, absolutely, jurisdiction, because they have a lot of similarities there. And plus, you know, I mean, Newcrest was a spin-out of Newmont 30 years ago. And also they're taking advantage of the CEO stepping down. So some turmoil over there as to who's going to run Newcrest. They step in and say, hey, we need more copper exposure. We're getting into the Golden Triangle. We're getting into the Golden Triangle. There's a lot of synergies here. You know, the stock is cheap in relation to the gold price. Like most of these other companies, this is a good time to make a bid.
Okay. Well, we'll keep following along, Dave. At least it's somewhat exciting for the space to see these mega mergers going on again. It may portend another wave of M&A in the sector. Always appreciate getting your thoughts as the junior miner junkie. If you like getting Dave's thoughts, click on the link down below. Check out the service he offers. And Dave, looking forward to talking to you again next week.
Me too, Shad. Have a good one.